Hello, friends, and I welcome you once again to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. These Bible teachings are brought to you by the Wash and Word hand car washing business located in Churchill on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. Hello, my name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate this hand car washing business as a way to self-support this ministry. And we ask you to support us by simply coming by and letting us work to earn the money it takes to support these verse-by-verse Bible teachings. You can hear them by coming to this radio station, WMCH, 1260 AM, Monday through Friday at 8:30. Or you can come by the Wash and Word anywhere in the parking lot and tune to 107.1 FM. We play these messages throughout the week. They play on a loop all day long. And lastly, you can go to the washandword.com website. That's wash, letter N, word.com. And there you can find out all the information about this business, about this ministry. And of course, you can listen to and download these messages. We teach verse by verse as a format because we believe that it is the most effective way to properly equip the saints of God for all that this world would throw at us. And so in the book of Jonah, which we're studying now, we looked at the first three verses already, and we did a pretty extensive exposition on those verses in the last two messages. Again, you can go to washandword.com, click on the media tab, and all of our messages that we've preached so far are there, free for download. And we looked at how God pursues us, even in our rebellion, even in our disobedience, even in our sin. That is the mercy and compassionate of the nature of God. But there's also a point where God lets off, as it were, or stops pursuing in a sense of, when we live in disobedience and we continue to live in a disobedience, there comes a point where God will allow that disobedience to manifest its fruit, and he backs his hand off. If we run away from the will of God or the call of God, such as Jonah did, we stand in that same position where God might just say, you know what, I'll find somebody else to do it. And we are left to our own choices, and thus we are left to our own consequences of that disobedience. But that's not the case here in Jonah. God pursues him with an almost unnatural or an almost very uncharacteristic pursuing of one man to do his will. Perhaps we can appreciate how Jonah felt if we think about it in a different way. I mean, some of you out there might think, well, why would Jonah want to run away from God's calling? I mean, he's a prophet, and God himself is talking to him. I mean, if God would just only speak to me, I certainly would do whatever God told me to do. Well, try to think of it this way. If you were, let's say you were a Jew living in the time of Hitler's regime, and God called you to go to Berlin and prophesy publicly that God was going to destroy Nazi Germany unless all of the Germans repented. It would almost be absurd to think of a Jew to go and do that during that time. Well, this is pretty much, very much like that situation. You know, for a Jew to go to Nineveh and proclaim that they should turn to the Lord lest God destroy them, well, it wouldn't have gone swimmingly, to put it in a in a term that would contradict what we might expect. The possibility of the Germans repenting and God withholding judgment on them would really have been a totally repugnant thought to such a Jew. And so we can relate to Jonah because, in a way, God sends us out every day to preach repentance to sinners who otherwise would just make our lives difficult. God calls us to go to places where we will be ridiculed. He calls us to go to people who will mock us. And though we may not risk our lives by preaching the message of salvation to the world and to our friends or our coworkers today, we do risk other things by doing this. I mean, let's face it, if it wasn't for unbelievers, I mean, this place would be great, wouldn't it? But they're here for a reason. They're here for us to express our commitment to God by evangelizing to them. Now, there are three main characters in this opening part of Jonah, and we're going to look at each one as we go over this chapter. And let's go ahead and read the chapter first, and then we'll go back and take a look at it. Verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What did you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you from?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Let's stop right there. That's all of chapter 1. I know that was a pretty long reading, but we're going to spend this and probably the next two messages recapping the events that took place here in chapter 1, talking about each individual character as at each intersection. So first, let's talk about the soldiers. And first, let's talk about fear. You know, fear can make people do some pretty odd things. In fact, it's during times of fear that really tell the truth about a person. You're never more aware of who you really are, except in times of fear. I can remember a time I was hiking in these mangrove swamps in Florida with my friends when I was a teenager, and one of my friends, he walked through one of these giant spider webs with a giant golden silk spider in the middle of them. And the moment he did that, he completely panicked and started running out of fear away from this spider web. And all that did was cause him to run into at least 4 or 5 more giant spider webs. And fear causes us to do things we don't normally do. We read of times in the news where a jealous or angry or distraught boyfriend will kill a girlfriend because the thought of not being with them, they'd rather them not even be alive. I mean, and fear of being alone causes people to do weird things. Fear causes odd things, and it also shows who we really are. There are times when I get scared, and the first reaction out of my mouth is something that makes me shudder. And I realize that I need the Lord every day, because this is what resides still in my heart. The Bible says in Hebrews 2, verses 14 through 15, that since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Remember, with Christ's resurrection, in Hebrews again, it says, "Where, O sin, is your victory? Where, O sin, or where, O death, is your sting?" And so we have been, the fear of the greatest fear, which is death, has been removed by Jesus. King Herod, for fear of losing his crown, went off and murdered dozens, maybe hundreds, of infant children. Fear makes people do some crazy things. But God is a God of comfort. And verse 4 of that famous Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Listen, the ultimate result or threat of fear is death. And the finished manifestation of why anyone fears anything is because they fear death. And the eyes of the sailor, they were so scared because they could fear, they could feel death on their doorstep, and they were naturally scared. But think about this. God can use fear to accomplish His will in your life. For instance, fear can cause you to rely on unreliable things. In verse 5, we read that Jonah, or rather the sailors were afraid, and each one cried out to his own God and threw cargo overboard. Listen, nothing is more pathetic than someone putting their trust in something that you know to be untrustworthy. You know, when death knocks on the door, we see people putting their faith or their trust in all kinds of crazy things by giving more money to charities or clutching onto a rosary of beads or trying to do more good works, putting their faith in the government will take care of them. Death can cause us, or the fear of death can cause some pretty, cause us to rely upon pretty unreliable things. You know, tarot cards, the list goes on and on. Proverbs 22:21 says, teaching you true and reliable words so that you can give sound answers to him who sent you. You see, that's why we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching, so that you will have true and reliable words that you can give to somebody experiencing fear. So whatever you're relying on today, if it isn't trusting in the Lord, you're going to fall victim to fear, and it's going to cause you to do some pretty irrational things. Also, fear can cause you to act in haste. We also read that in verse 5. And granted, by lightening the load, that was a valid way to keep a ship from sinking. What did they do while they were lightening their load? It says that they were praying to their gods. How often are we praying to God to help us while we're in the middle of fixing our own problems our own way? Oh Lord, help me with our finances. Help me with my debt, as we stand at the clerk's cashier station in Macy's and they ask, will this be cash or credit? You know, the point I'm making is that sometimes we act in haste and we try to solve our own problems. And even though we're crying out to God, we're not allowing him to do what we're asking him to do because we are taking control. That is a result of fear. Fear can also cause you to panic, as we saw in verse 7 and 8. The sailors said to each other, come, let's cast lots and find out who's responsible for this. And of course, a lot fell on Jonah, and they asked him a series of questions, like, who is responsible for all this trouble? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? And for what people are you from? This fear caused them to panic, and in a rapid fire questions, they didn't even allow for pauses for the answers. You know, I do this with my kids sometimes when they're bad. You know, it's like, why were you out there? Do you even thinking? Why are you hanging with your friends like that? What did you even know? I mean, you just get these rapid amounts of questions. You're not even leaving room for answers. It's just a panic in a sense. You're fearful of something, and this panic sets in. Someone once said that the difference between stress, tension, and panic is this. Stress is when your wife is pregnant, tension is when your girlfriend is pregnant, and panic is when both are pregnant. Now, again, you know, panic is usually the result, and, you know, irrational behavior and panic, they go hand in hand. And maybe in their haste of lightening the load here, they also began to panic. And so that's three things that we learned from what fear can cause us to do on these sailors. There's a couple more we're going to go over as we pick this up tomorrow in our next teaching. But I guess I'll leave you with this. Don't let fear cause you to do irrational things. And when fear strikes, remember, God said he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And so we'll look at these sailors again in our next message. Until then, We invite you to come by the Wash and Word. Again, allow us to work to earn the money to support this ministry. You can go to washandword.com website for information about this business and this ministry. Have a blessed day.